Welcome back to your DC Talk. This is August 25th, 2019. This is episode number 58. 58, my friends. We are so close to that 60 mark. I am Mike. And I have with me, as always, the wonderful, the talented, the always awesome, Miss Carrie. What's up?
Hey! I've doing good. I've had a glass of wine. I've had some cheese. I'm gonna do some gaming later. It's gonna be great.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh. And if you want to hear us talk a little bit about some D23 news, some Marvel shows we got coming up, Spider-Man and leaving the Marvel universe and all that kind of thing. Spoiler alert.
You really had to rip my heart out again?
I know.
Seriously, Mike?
If you want to hear all that bonus content, though, listen, go to randomchatter.com/community and sign up to be a Patreon. That is one of the bonus perks you get for being a Patreon subscriber, is that you get some of this awesome bonus content that we record before or after a show. So make sure you do that. You see how I slid that in there? That was a perfect transition.
Very clever, Mike.
I know. You know what else is clever?
We all have to fire you. We don't have to fire you this week.
You know what else is clever? All our remarks as well in the Discord channel. You get all the show channels and all the main lobby for absolutely free. But if you donate for $1 a month on Patreon, you get every single show channel that you could possibly want. And in those show channels, you get to see all of our cleverness. Or if you can't do that, you can email us, dctalk@randomchatter.com. You can find our Twitter @randomchatter, @dctalkpod. You can find me @thedcfanboy. You can find Carrie where?
@CarrieBlackfire42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire42.
So send us your clever comments by doing that. You can also show people how clever you are by buying some merchandise from our store if you would like to. We have a TeePublic store with our Random Chatter logo. We also have our DC Talk logo and our Guardians of the MCU logo on all different kinds of things, from t-shirts to hoodies to tattoos to fuzzy pink slippers. Well, except for the last two. But we do have on a bunch of other things, and we're working on a way to get Tim's face on pillows. We don't know how yet, but we're working on it. People have been requesting it. We're going to have to figure out how to get it done.
No, Lizzie and John have been requesting it. I'm not sure I'm in that crowd, because that's creepy.
Can we get Lou's cats on a picture?
Oh. Oh, I mean, I'm allergic to cats normally, so this might be a way for me to have cats and not worry about, you know, allergies.
We can get a group photo of all of Lou's 39 cats on a pillow.
and because we know Lou's not listening to this, he can't rebut that he only has four.
And hey, you say, I don't know who this Lou character is. Well, you can do that by finding all of our shows on randomchatter.com. He is on our Random Chatter on episodes, and he's also on the Tight Beam too, isn't he?
On occasion, and he's also on Echo Base.
Yes, also on Echo Base, our Star Wars podcast. So you can find all of those shows at randomchatter.com, and make sure you leave a review when you get it. This week, I have a movie quote because I just got done watching. I watched Batman Hush this week.
Finally!
I know. I've also listened.
This is what happens when I don't read the show notes. I discover that he's watched Batman Hush and didn't tell me about it.
I know.
But anyway, continue. What's your quote?
I have watched a lot this week. I watched Batman Hush. I finished The Kingsman this week, both of them.
Wow.
I know. I've been on a movie. I have to be on the movie split
so
before
much,
everything.
You are so much better. You are so much better than I am. I am still trying to finish up Legion.
Oh man!
I am about halfway through the last season of Legion. It's sad.
And in honor of Batman,
yes,
I have this. I know that Superman could squash me like a bug, but I know he won't, because deep down Clark is a good person, and deep down, I'm not. Boom! Boom!
Yeah, because
it's Batman.
As much as we love Batman, we know he's.
Not
always the best people.
That's true. So there's your quote for the week. But if there's nothing else, Carrie, why don't you go ahead and dig down into our news?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's so much news this week. No,
there's a load of news this week.
Not really. but we will do our best to get through it. So John Barrowman will be back for Arrow season 8, and this is awesome because I love John Barrowman so much. But Malcolm Merlyn has been dead since season 5, but he will be back.
Is he really
for season
dead?
8.
Is he really dead?
This is a comic book. This is comic books.
He's
that
not
was
dead.
Really dead.
No, they're not.
Not really. But yes, Captain Jack Harkness, I mean Malcolm Merlyn, will be back for season 8 of. Yes, I am showing my Torchwood colors. Sorry, not sorry. He will be back for season 8. Speaking of season 8, so this one's kind of making me nervous. I get it, and I respect it. But I'm also nervous. Stephen Amell is apparently the person who came up with the ending for Arrow. And Stephen Amell, who plays Oliver Queen, is the one who pitched the idea for how Arrow should end. And that...
We'll have to find out what it is.
We'll have to find out what it is. That makes me nervous. But... I have faith in them. I'm hoping that this ends well. And yeah. Okay.
All right, I'm hoping so too.
Okay. So, and in other DC TV news, let's see. Batwoman has cast Sam Littlefield in a recurring role. This is not someone I am familiar with.
So, he's going to play Mouse in Batwoman. I know him. He was big in like The Messengers as Leland Schiller.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of.
He was in Leftovers and Sharp Objects. None of which I've seen. He's also made appearances on NCIS, which I kind of lost interest in several seasons ago.
I'm still watching that pretty heavily.
Yeah.
He was an Angel as Young Man Hostage.
Oh. Okay.
But no, I'm not too familiar with him. But he looks like a character from a DC movie, just to be honest, looking at him. So, it'll be interesting. But yeah, he was cast. That's cool.
Okay. And then on slightly sadder news, Legends of Tomorrow has confirmed that Brandon Routh, who plays the Atom, and Courtney Ford, who plays... Dark's daughter, Nora.
Yes,
Nora Dark.
Yep, he plays Nora Dark.
Mine. Nora Dark. We'll be leaving the season, and this makes me sad because, as several people have pointed out on Twitter, Ray is kind of the heart and the conscience of the team.
They have Mick.
Mick is not neither the heart nor the conscience of the Legends team. Mick is the cheesy romance writer / anarchist on the team.
He's the moral compass of the team. Come on.
Mick is so not the moral compass of the team. That has been Ray from the very, very beginning. Actually, that's been Ray since he was introduced on Arrow.
Right.
He has kind of been like this very, very, no matter what happens to him, he is always very, very positive. He is always very hopeful. He always tries to do the right thing. And I really hope someone else is going to be able to take up that position on the Legends team, because that is, it's going to fill, and this is, he's also one of the original character, one of the first castmates. The only people left are White Canary and Rory. So those are the only two original cast members left.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad.
Well, and the good thing, though, it is sad, but the good thing, though, is that they're not leaving on negative terms. They're simply leaving just because their storyline was being wrapped up.
Yeah. I really hope that means that that Ray and Nora are getting a happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I really hope that's what that means, because I mean that's the other thing that's making me nervous, because of them leaving together. There's really only a few ways that I can think of off the top of my head that happens. Either Ray and Nora leave to be together, or Ray and Nora leave because they both died.
Or one dies and the other one gets or so one dies or one dies and the other one is so broken hearted they're done.
And yeah, that makes me really, really, really nervous.
Or maybe Nora Dark makes the sacrifice play at the end of the season.
Yeah, but that also makes
Ray.
Me nervous.
Or Ray does.
Or Ray.
And maybe Nora goes and does something to try to find a way in the world to bring him back somehow for making the play. And then later on in a season or something, we may get them in another season. But I know they wrote them out that they're not going to completely close the door, that they won't be able to come back.
Well, I mean, they pretty much said that for most of the Arrowverse characters that have left.
Right.
Except for... I think they've even hinted that Oliver may not die by the end of Arrow. But who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
All right. So some DC Universe news. One of my favorite shows, Titans.
Oh, yes.
And I seem to be in a minority on this, but as much as I love the CW, I really enjoy Titans.
Me too.
But Titans is coming back here in not this week, but September 6th. So we'll be recording this week the last three episodes of Young Justice Outsiders for season 3. So it would be the finale. And then the following Friday, we have Titans coming back. So that's great. But they are adding Michael Mosley as Dr. Light in Season 2. Now, for those who are not quite sure what he's played on, he played on one of my favorite shows, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He played Franco McCoy.
He looks familiar, but I don't think I've seen him in anything.
He played Mason Young on Ozark, for those who watched that. I know I saw it was the miniseries Fear the Walking Dead Passage. I saw him as Colton, so I saw that one. Let's see. I've seen him. I watched like one episode of Sirens and got bored. He was in. Oh, I know I've seen him somewhere. Where was it? He was. That's right. He was Drew in Scrubs. Yeah. Drew Suffin in Scrubs. So I was. Okay. So I know where he's at now. I remember that. But yeah, so he's been cast as Dr. Light in the upcoming Titans Season 2. Along with Titans, they revealed a Season 2 poster for Titans, and it looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. The only thing that makes me nervous about Titans is that Jason Todd is apparently going to be much more prominent in this season than last season, and I just need to punch Jason Todd in the face. I'm sorry.
I would love
for them to skip over Jason and go straight to Tim Drake, but I get that Jason has a place in the Batman and the DC universe. In the Bat family and the DC universe. I just don't particularly like it.
Oh, come on.
Can we just skip over to where he's Red Mask already?
Not yet. But speaking of Titans, again, this season 2 we got a synopsis and it's going to kind of reveal some things. So, in season 2, all right.
The team is getting back together, finally.
Right. Following the aftermath of their encounter with Trigon, Dick reforms the Titans under supervision in the new home at Titans Tower.
Rachel, we're getting Titans Tower.
Yes. Yay. Rachel Garr and Jason Todd train together to hone their hero abilities and work together as a team. They're joined by Hank Hall and Dawn Granger, a.k.a. Hawk and Dove, and Donna Troy, Wonder Girl. Although these original Titans attempt to transition into a regular life, when old enemies resurface, everyone must come together to take care of unfinished business. And as this family of old and new Titans, including Connor Kent and Rose Wilson, learn to coexist, the arrival of Deathstroke brings to light the sins of the old Titans, which threaten to tear the new Titans family apart once more. This synopsis looks absolutely freaking amazing.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're gonna be wrapping up the whole thing with Trigon in like the first episode or two.
That's kind of odd. They built all the way up to it to like the end, but I think it'll be the first couple episodes because they need to move into Deathstroke pretty quick.
I didn't hear that.
I said they need to move into Deathstroke pretty quick. So,
well, yeah, but I mean they could do both. I mean Deathstroke and Trigon were kind of working together at some point during Teen Titans. The cartoon.
Yeah.
But yeah at the same time, it kind of has a feeling of like, you know, the cliffhangers from like, you know, Next Gen days where, you know, they would leave it off and then come back again and then start a whole new story after for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. It's just it's going to wrap up quick. In DC Universe as well, the Harley Quinn gave us a behind the scenes first look trailer. It's not much different from what we've already known the show's going to be about. It just gave us a few different little shots.
This looks real. I am actually getting rather excited about this.
Really?
I'm really looking forward to this.
I'm still not 100% on board.
I have loved Harley since her introduction on the animated series, and she has kind of carved out this niche in the DC universe. I mean, so there is a review I wrote a couple year or so ago on the Random Chatter website for this book I was sent about Harley Quinn, this is the art of Harley Quinn and her history in the DC universe. And it's talking about how, you know, for the longest time there were three main characters in DC. There was Superman, there was Batman, there was Wonder Woman. And Harley Quinn has basically, in the span of 20 years or so, made herself like the fourth main character in the DC universe. Huh. And it is freaking amazing. Just like all of the transformations she has gone through, all of the stuff that she has like done, like all the things that she has been, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think... mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I just need to see a first episode of it. Kind of like how Doom Patrol was. Mm-hmm. That's... Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But... in general, DC news, that's all over kind of our DC universe. In general DC news, we don't typically talk a lot about comics on this podcast.
Because we don't get to read a whole lot of them.
Right.
At least I don't.
I don't. I'm still working on Crisis. DC mm-hmm. Comics has apparently just killed a major Batman character in the City of Bane's story arc they've got. So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to... It was in Batman issue 77. That was just released. Apparently what has happened is in the comic itself, Bruce Wayne is not Batman, it's Thomas Wayne from the alternate Flashpoint.
Yeah, because
it looks like this is a
post-Flashpoint.
Right.
Story arc.
Batman patrols the city at night with the superpowered and unhinged Gotham Girl.
Mm-hmm.
While the GCPD is run by villains like Riddler and Scarecrow, authorities also at the city have struck a deal with Bane. As long as he keeps crime under control, no one gets in and no one gets out. So, I'm going to give you guys kind of like a spoiler warning for like the next 15 seconds. Here we go.
And 3, 2, 1, go.
So, Bane has Alfred Pennyworth chained up in the manor. Damian Wayne was told to stay out, and Damian Wayne decides he wants to sneak into the the mansion anyways, and right in front of Damian Wayne, as Batman is standing there with him, holding him, Bane snaps Alfred Pennyworth's neck and kills him.
Now, okay, I mean, okay, so Alfred has died off-screen in the past. Hello, that's Batman Beyond. But I think this is the first time you've actually seen him get killed off.
Yes.
I mean, it's not...
It's not unheard of, it's just interesting.
It's not unheard of, it's just kind of brutal. But this is Bane we're talking about, so that's...
Right.
Kind of in the mix.
Yeah.
Already. But still...
Yeah.
I mean, it's harsh. Yeah, but also not... Like, how has Batman gone on this long without Alfred being killed at least once?
That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, spoiler over, we just thought we'd share that with you guys.
Yeah.
And the last bit of news that we have here, we don't know the exact role yet, but there is... I thought this was more of a rumor, but we can keep it going on. Like, it hadn't been officially confirmed yet, but Suicide Squad may have added Nathan Fillion to the cast. For those who's not aware of what he is, he has done a lot of...
He is the voice of Green Lantern. Yeah, he is the voice of Green Lantern, of Hal Jordan, specifically. But fellow Browncoats, this is Captain Mal we're talking about. He is possibly going to be being added to the cast of Suicide Squad. Your captain is back.
Your captain
some,
is back.
In some fashion. One of your captains. You know, not the leaf, not Alan Tudyk being the leaf on the wind that he is, but Nathan Fillion, Captain Mal. Sorry. Please go on.
That's fine. But I had to
give a Firefly shout out there. Sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. But no, I we don't know exactly what he's playing yet, but we know he played, so he's playing something. Well, that's all of our news, so that's it. Carrie, why don't we move into our only DC TV discussion?
Okay. All right. So, Young Justice Outsiders, Season 3, Episode 23, Terminus. The hunt for Halo is on. Pray the team does not find her.
Well, we got Guy Gardner for a few seconds on screen.
We
got Gardner on screen for a few seconds, and then the anti-life equation happened.
And Hal and John. Now, where is Kyle?
He's not available at the moment.
Where is Kyle Rader, guys?
He's not available at the moment. Please leave your name and number, and he may or may not get back to you. Oh, that's funny.
I'm almost channeling Lizzie right now. It's like, I want Kyle. Kyle is my lantern, and I have... okay, never mind. I'm calming down now. Okay. It was nice to see Wally again, even if it made me want to cry.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I, at first I was kind of like, are we really seeing Wally? And then I was, oh, no, never mind.
No, that was all. Nightwing's fever dream.
Yep.
And if the anti-life equation doesn't kill Nightwing, I think Oracle will.
Yep.
Because Nightwing went along on this expedition against her better judgment, making Calderon responsible for him, which apparently was a good idea. Because now, oh crap!
Yeah.
Yeah, what you said, Mike. Oh crap!
Yeah, I said.
I'm saying it for you
at the end, because that was that's an ending right there. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next this upcoming week. So Brionne's statement, forgiving doesn't mean forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very harsh statement.
Oh, no, it's completely, it's completely appropriate. I mean, you've never read you don't read Dragonlance, do you?
No.
Okay, so, this will tell everyone a bit more about me than you probably already know. One of my favorite characters is Tasselhoff Barefoot, the Kender. He is always willing to forgive people, but he does not forget. I mean, he even forgives Raistlin for killing his friend Gmish. But he doesn't forget. And this is kind of the same thing. Like, you know, you can forgive. There's a lot of things that you forgive, but you just don't forget about.
That's true. And I will say, I don't say this often, but Kira, you were right about Vandal Savage in the last episode.
Oh, he's pissed.
He is
so, like, this is not what he signed up for.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'm not down with this, guys, because I'm pretty much dead if this thing goes south.
Everyone is dead if this is what's going down. And yeah, so the anti-life equation has been unleashed on all of the universe, and yeah, apparently it's going to kill the non-metahumans faster than the metahumans, which is why Dick is having a much harder time with it than everyone else.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens this upcoming week.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, Carrie, yes? I can't believe that's all of our DC TV discussion. But we do have a couple other little discussions, if you don't mind.
I figure it's been a slow news week,
so I thought we'd have some couple fun topics, except for the whole rated R thing we'll talk about in a second. So Screen Rant wrote an article recently about the DC TV ranking the top couples from the past and present on DC TV.
Mm-hmm. And I misread this the first time, and I got through it with like, but where? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So, number 10 on the list of top 10 is Nate Haywood and Amaya Jouwe from Legends of Tomorrow.
I really, really like this relationship.
I did too.
I am sad that Amaya left. I get it. But still. I mean, we still have the actress, but yeah, she's not the same person.
She's not the same one that we had. So that was number 10. Number 9, Roy Harper and Thea Queen from Arrow.
Another one I really, really like, the way they got together on Arrow.
He was trying to steal her purse.
Hey,
it worked.
He was a thief.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Sarah Lance and Ava Sharp is number 8.
I like them as well.
All right. One we haven't seen a lot of, and we don't know if they're still really in a relationship, is Anissa Pierce and Grace Choi from number 7.
From Black Lightning? Black Lightning. Because we don't know what's going on with Grace right now, other than I think she's a shapeshifter.
Yep.
Hopefully that gets figured out in season 3.
Yep. Number 6 was one of my favorites, Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle from Gotham.
Agreed. I am not the kind of person who is like, you know, one true pairing type thing. I can be flexible. Bruce Wayne belongs with either Selina Kyle or Talia al Ghul, and Talia al Ghul tends to screw him over every time they get together, so it might as well be Selina.
I agree.
And Selina, like, they can, I mean, especially if you guys have watched Batman Hush, except for the way that ends. That is probably the most healthy relationship Bruce Wayne has been in, and they can go out and fight crime together, and it's great.
Absolutely. Number five was Joe West and Cecile Horton from The Flash.
I love Cecile. Cecile is amazing.
Let's see. Number four was Jefferson Pierce and Lynn Stewart.
Yes. And I know Jefferson is supposed to make an appearance on in Crisis. I wonder if Lynn makes an appearance and is like, oh, this is like my half-brother. John's like my half-brother or something, because, I mean, that has been alluded to, at least on Young Justice.
I thought she was married to John at one point.
No. According to everything I have read up on, she is John Stewart's sister.
Okay, that would be interesting.
So if she ends up being John Diggle's like half or stepsister from another marriage, and John Diggle
meets Jefferson Pierce. That would be hilarious.
That would be awesome.
That'd be good. Number three, surprisingly, at number three is Oliver Queen and Felicity Smoke. So Elicity.
Yeah.
It's number three on this one. This one though has been a long one.
This one took me a while to get used to because in the comics it's always been, you know, Green Arrow and Black Canary, and the switch in my brain for this took a bit of getting used to. Mm-hmm. I do like it now, but still, it's just like
it's still awkward a little bit right now to me, but it's good though.
I agree.
Let's see. Number two, Barry Allen and Iris West Allen from The Flash.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good relationship, I must
admit. It is. And it would be number one except for the number one spot, which is Clark and Lois. Because any version of Clark, as much as I don't like Superman as much as Batman, any version of Clark Kent and Lois Lane getting together is really, really cool.
Yep. And so that was number one, Clark Kent and Lois Lane from Smallville. I mean, that was...
And that pairing, which is not to say I don't love the Arrowverse pairing, because that one is also awesome. But yeah, I think that's my favorite version of watching them get together, from all of the different iterations of the Superman myth.
Carrie, I think our fans really want to hear us go through a Smallville rewatch sometime.
When are we going to have the time to go through 10 episodes of Smallville?
We'll figure it out. Our fans really want it. I can hear it now.
Chicka
Fant is probably like screaming right now, I want a Smallville rewatch. I just know it. But
oh dear.
Our second news topic to kind of think about what we, you know, kind of give our opinions on. The Joker movie this week gets an officially hard R rating. What do you think about this?
I have
my feelings about it, but
I'm not surprised. It's not going to get, because it's R-rated, it's not going to get the numbers that something that was PG-13 would get.
Right.
But if this is basically the story of someone who has been pushed too far and is going to get to a place where, you know, he just wants to burn the whole world down, then it can't, that especially with someone like the Joker, you can't pull any punches.
Right.
And if that is the story that they're going to tell about how he becomes, you know, this guy who basically is, you know, moved past pitchforks and torches and moved on to the guillotine or, you know, acid-laced spray flowers. I mean, it's going to get dark, it's going to get violent, and And that's not going to be for the faint of heart, unfortunately.
No, it really won't. I'm actually okay with it being rated R. I'm trying to figure out how to put this. So, before people complain, oh, this is a superhero movie. This is DC's going to fail.
It's not a superhero movie.
Right.
That's
I understand that, but hang on. People are automatically going to assume it with a superhero movie because it's the Joker, number one. Number two, they're going to be like, oh, it's a comic movie if you want to go that route. It's got a hard R. I need to remind you that Deadpool was rated R. A very hard
and did phenomenal.
It did phenomenal at the box office. Somebody who's more well known would be somebody like the Joker over Deadpool.
Well, and also you have Logan, which I still haven't seen, by the way. Yes,
right.
Logan
did very well as well at the box office.
Logan did well, but that's also a character that is probably as well known as the Joker, if not better well known, because we at least know Logan's Wolverine's history.
Right.
Joker, for as much as we associate him with Batman, he is pretty much a blank slate before he becomes the Joker.
Right. So in all actuality, I am really okay with this rating. I like it, and actually I have been watching the trailer over and over again, and the more I watch the trailer, the more I am excited about this movie. Over mm-hmm. a lot of movies I've waited for in a while.
Did you see the TV spots?
I haven't seen the TV spots.
I know they're teasing
another. Well, I have seen a couple TV spots on Hulu if they do come up. Mm-hmm. But I know they're teasing another trailer here soon for this movie.
I can believe that.
So I mean they're kind of getting, you know, they're kind of getting. I think we've seen a lot of stuff from the trailers, but I still don't think we've seen exactly everything that people think. I think there's a lot of stuff they have not shown in the trailers. But I'm looking forward to
it. No, I think that there's a lot of stuff that they're going to hold back, hopefully, to save for people who actually go and see the movie.
Right. So I'm okay with it getting R. So all these people that are going to complain that, well, a comic movie shouldn't be rated R, now I think they lowered their demographic's not going to be as much now because they put a hard R on it. Just remember, you had the same parents who took their kids to see Deadpool. Will probably take their kids to see this one.
All of the
warnings.
Will
probably take their kids
Wade
to see this
himself,
movie too.
Wade Wilson himself posted warnings on Facebook saying, "Hey, my movie is not for everyone. Don't take your kids to see this." And they still took their kids to see this.
Right. So I don't think it's going to be bad. Matter of fact, I think it's going to be a sleeper hit that people just aren't expecting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to do very well. I plan on going and seeing it myself because I want to see the Joker movie. Mm-hmm. I would love to talk about it. But I know there are some people, like I said, who have reservations because it's rated R. But I'm like, you know, like, again, mm-hmm. Deadpool was rated R as well. And people still went and saw that.
Yeah.
And took their kids. You know, those awesome parents. Great, great parenting, guys.
but okay. Okay, see, I will do one argument to counterpoint that.
Okay.
Deadpool, for all of its raunchiness and violence, is still a comedy.
Yes.
It might be more appropriate to, and again, I have not seen Logan yet. I'm not ready. Wolverine is not my favorite mutant. At me later. It's okay.
It's Carrie@randomchatter.com.
Carrie@randomchatter.com. Or CarrieBlackfire42 @CarrieBlackfire42. It might be more appropriate, though, to compare the Joker movie to Logan, just if we're talking about something that's violent and dark.
Right. Well, so Logan was violent, but Logan wasn't really dark.
Hmm.
Not like dark as we would think dark, but it was rated R. But
what about like Watchmen?
I've never seen Watchmen.
You haven't seen Watchmen?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
I think the darkest movie... I'm trying to think of the darkest movie we watched here recently on Caped Chronicles and kind of recorded about.
Blade 2?
Yeah, Blade 2 would probably be the darkest. The Crow? Yeah.
Mm.
We haven't really watched any dark... I mean, Spawn went even dark.
Spawn?
Spawn was a laughter
Spawn
fest.
Spawn was a lot of things. Mostly bad.
Yes. But... All in all, I'm okay with it being a rated R.
Me too.
I think it needs to be if you're digging into the psyche of especially mm-hmm. somebody like the Joker. You need a rated R in the movie.
Oh yeah.
But you know what else is R?
What?
Carrie, we are out of here because that is all we have for DC talk tonight. What? Again,
that was so bad, Mike.
Okay.
I may have to fire you again.
It happens. Again, y'all, listen, find us on Twitter. Find us on email us. Let us know what you think. Y'all, join us in Discord. I promise it's a lot of fun. All you got to do is go to randomchat.com/Discord. There's a link right there. Send you to us. We'd love to have you come join us. So, hey, until next time, y'all, we'll see you on the other side.